Regarding our purpose visit to Britain, I would appreciate your prayers for me. Some of you know this, I told you privately. I did receive a schedule of what they've arranged, but I think they forget that it's coming up for 28 years since I was there in Liverpool. They must think I'm still capable of doing what I used to do for them. They've lined up at least 12 meetings for me in a week, and perhaps by the time it comes the end of the week, they'll realize that I'm now a lot older than I was the last time I was there. However, I trust as long as the Lord gives us the strength, we'll be able to do it. And after we have a complete week there with the two weekends, we've got to go way down to Bournemouth in the south of England, and we'll have two or perhaps three meetings to address there, and then we have to get right back up through the country again and up into Scotland to the better land to see a few of the folks there. So it's going to be a bit of a rush while we're there. We'll appreciate your prayers, and God willing, we'll leave here on the 9th, that's a week on Thursday, and we'll be hoping to be back on the 7th of May. But while we're away, kindly remember us in your prayers. Now, we're still dealing with Joseph, and if you were here on Wednesday night, you remember we were in chapter 45, and I want you to turn there again, chapter 45, and then we're going to look at some other portions from other chapters tonight and get some things from the life of Joseph. Now, look for a moment or two at verse 24 of chapter 45. Verse 24. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. Now, if you were here on Wednesday night, perhaps you observed that I missed that verse out entirely. We went through all the rest and we left that one out. But we're taking it tonight as a connecting link in what follows. Now, you'll recall that in chapter 45, it's the great chapter of the revealed brother. It was their second visit down, and you'll recall how Joseph worked with them, and what he did brought conviction to bear upon the hearts of these men who had treated him so shabbily in years that were past. And now the time has come for Joseph to reveal himself to his brothers. You recall how that was done. It was done righteously. There was a perfect reconciliation. He wept with them, and he kissed them. He feasted them, really, because he set the table and the dined with them and so on. There was a perfect reconciliation. Then he gives them the provision to go back up home to Canaan, and there they were to find their old father, Jacob, and bring him back down to Egypt, because there was yet to be another 5 years of famine. Now he's sending them away. And he gives them this beautiful exhortation, see that ye fall not out by the way. Now, I want you to picture that scene. They're all there. They've now realized that the man whom they had sold as a slave, the man they hated without a cause, the man they got rid of, he's now the Lord of Egypt. The one they said they would never bow down to is the one they have bowed down to. It's all come home to them. Now he loads them with a full provision, and he says, now see to it that ye fall not out by the way. You remember what he had given to Benjamin. And now as they're leaving to go back up, he provides Benjamin with an awful lot more than he gave to them. Now there was the possibility that they might be jealous of Benjamin. Well, why should Benjamin get more than us? Why should he give all that to Benjamin and just give us this? They weren't entitled to anything. If they had got their just reward, he would have put them in prison. If they'd got really what they asked for, he would have made them slaves. That's what they wanted to do. They said, we're willing to be your servants. He didn't do that. He loaded them up as members of the same family. But to Benjamin, his real brother, the other son of Rachel, he loaded Benjamin. Now he says, you see to it that you fall not out by the way. But then go back in thought. Hadn't they fallen out with each other over and over again? Hadn't they fallen out with each other at the very time when they sold Joseph? Wasn't there a lot of quarreling amongst them at different times? Wasn't there the pointing of the finger of accusation at certain ones in that family? You see, I remind you, of course, you see, they were all the sons of Jacob, but they were not all the sons of the same mother. There were four different mothers, one father. And wherever you have a family like that, you're going to have trouble. There's going to be jealousy, falling out. Now, says Joseph, see that ye fall not out by the way. You see, they've got to go this journey, and he has given them a commission. You remember that? They've received their commission as to what they've to do, and the message they've to convey to their father, and how they've to return and bring their father down with them, and all that they have. Lock, stock, and barrel, that to come down now to Egypt. He says, now no quarreling by the way. No falling out. Might I suggest, if you bring that thought over into New Testament language, bring it over into New Testament thought, should there be any falling out with those who are members of the family of God today? There ought not to be. There should never be any family quarrels. Of course, you say, are you trying to tell us that where there's children, there won't be any quarrels? Now, I wouldn't dare tell you that, because there were six in our family. Now, when we were all little ones, there was no quarreling when my father was there. If he was sitting on his chair at the side of the fire reading, you wouldn't dare have quarreled. None of you would have dared have said a hard word about the other one. He would just have said one word and that would have finished it all. You would have seen that hand go out, because there was a hook right at the end of the old mantel shelf. And his old razor strop was hanging on that hook. And if you said that, he would just say, no. And you thought that was it, finished. But if he wasn't there, now that's a different story. And if anything happened, you know how children blame each other. It was him that started it. It wasn't me, it was you who started it. See? My mother used to say, now look, I don't care who started it, I know who'll finish it. I know who'll finish it. But I know that children, when they're young, they squabble. But the Bible tells us we've not to be children like that. We've not to act like children. We've to act like grown-up people, like mature people. Or we can be childlike in certain things, but not childish. We've not to act like children when it comes to these things. We've to be developed men and women And we've not to fall out by the way. That's what Joseph said to them here. And wherever some Christian points the finger at another and blames someone else for their error, the error is with them, not with the one they blame. See that you fall not out by the way. It's a good exhortation. Joseph knew his brethren. He knew what they were apt to do. He wanted them to be in unity. Now that the past had been brought to light, now that the past had been forgiven, and they'd all confessed, "We are sons of the same Father, all right," says Joseph, "that's it. Now see that you go home in unity and bring your father down here. I want to see him." So when you come to the next chapter now, chapter 46, there's the meeting of Jacob with Joseph. But in order to take the part that leads up to that, we've got to bring Jacob into the picture for a moment or two. Look at chapter 46 in the opening verse. "And Israel took his journey." By the way, I draw your attention to the fact that it's the new name that's used here again, not the old name of Jacob, Israel. "And Israel took his journey with all that he had, and he came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I." By the way, can you recall when God said that to him before? Remember, God spoke to him on previous occasions. He said, "I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes." And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods which they had gotten in the land of Canaan and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. Now stop there for a moment or two and get the picture. Joseph and his father Jacob are going to meet after an absence of 22 years. Joseph was 17 years of age the day he went out when his father sent him to go down to inquire after his brethren. 22 years have passed, and he hasn't seen Joseph. And now he's told that Joseph is yet alive, and he had thought Joseph was dead. Joseph is yet alive, and we're going down to see Joseph. "Let's go," he said, "before I die. Let's go and see Joseph." And they come to a place called Beersheba. Now, you see, here now we have the movement of Jacob associated with the divine plan. And he's moving down. Now he comes to Beersheba. It's a place of memories. Have you ever come to a place of memories? For example, now, I don't know if you're still living in the house today where you were born, perhaps you're not. But it brings back memories when you go back and see the place where you were born, doesn't it? It brings back memories when you go back to the place, perhaps, where you spent your childhood. It brings back memories if you go and see the school where you had your early years of education, I took a picture of a school on one occasion. I knew that the lady was now living in this country. I was passing by the little village where she once lived in Scotland. I took a picture of the school she went to. And one day I showed them this picture. My, when she saw it, she would have talked on and on and on about the experience she had at that school. Brought back memories. Memories. What memories did Jacob have of Beersheba? It's a place of memories. That was the old homestead. Beersheba. That was the place where his grandfather lived. Abraham had lived at Beersheba. It was from Beersheba, you remember, that Abraham went up with Isaac and took the 3 days' journey to go up to Mount Moriah. It was at Beersheba where Isaac was living. It was at Beersheba where Jacob deceived his old father. It was at Beersheba where he left the home because of his brother's threats. He's come now to Beersheba. Oh, what memories. And he's leaving again the land. Now, I remind you, when we dealt with Jacob, I pointed this out, that Jacob's life is a kind of faint outlining, a faint picture of the history of the nation that developed from him. For you find Jacob, first of all, in the land. Then you find them for so many years, 20 years or more, out of the land. Then you find them coming back into the land. And then here you find them going out of the land again. And then ultimately he comes back into the land to be buried. He's buried in the land. You think of the nation that developed from him. You find them going into the land, out of the land, remnant coming back into the land, out of the land. Some of them are back in again. And there's trouble yet before the end. And ultimately God will see to it that they're established in the land. Jacob, I suggest to you, in his movements, a faint picture of the nation that developed from him. But here he comes down here, and he's at the place of great memories, and God speaks to him here. Now he's going down to Egypt, and Joseph is going to look after his father for 17 years. Now, get this picture clear. In going down to Egypt, they're not going down as a nation. There's about 70 souls in all. They're going to occupy a place in Egypt, as we'll see in a moment or two. But notice what God says to him here as he's going down into Egypt. God is very gracious towards him, and God tells him what he'll do. He says, I am the God of thy father, fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. Now you ask this question, did God make a great nation of him or did he not? You remember that was the promise that God made to his grandfather, to Abraham. I will make of thee a great nation. Now here he certifies that promise to Jacob. He says, you're going down to Egypt, I will make of thee a great nation. They were not a nation when they went down, but they were a nation when God brought them out. Make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt. And I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. That is, you'll die down there. You see, it's the promise of national development. It's also the promise of divine protection. I'll be with you there. And if God was with him, he'd be protected. There's the promise of national deliverance. I will bring thee again. And the promise of a peaceful passing. Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. He'll be with you when you die. And so you have the picture of Jacob with his family, and they're going down into Egypt. Now, let us go down now, and we'll look at further down at verse 28. Verse 28, chapter 46. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph, to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen, and Joseph made ready his chariot, and went up to meet Israel his father to Goshen, presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. But he didn't die till 17 years after that. And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh, and say unto him, My brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me, and the men are shepherds, for their trade had been to feed cattle, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, What is your occupation? That ye shall say, Thy servant's trade had been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Now look how God makes provision for them. He's going to give them the very best of the land. Look at the welcome scene. As I have indicated, after an absence of 22 years, a father and a son meet. Some of you fellows went away on Friday. That's all, just Friday. And you got back today. You left your wives at home. You only went away on Friday. Now don't stand and tell us now. We don't want your testimony now. It might embarrass us. What kind of welcome did you get when you come home? Huh? Was it worth being away? Just for 2 days. Some go away a week. Some of you fellows had to go away to the services, timing that the war was on. Perhaps you were away for months on end, and you got home. Oh, what a welcome. What a welcome. But what about a welcome like the prodigal got when he came home? His father saw him while he was yet a great way off, and he ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. But Jacob thought that Joseph was dead. And now he's told Jacob that Joseph is yet alive. And he comes, and they meet after 22 years. Now what a difference. He saw when he was 17. Now he's 39 years of age. And I want you to picture old Jacob now. An old man with his staff. And he's lame, he's limping. An old decrepit man, which had many ups and downs and ins and outs, sorrows and trials in his life. And he's meeting his son now, who's in a big position next to Pharaoh in Egypt. And they embrace, Eastern style. And they wept and wept. Oh, what a scene. Reunited in tears. What a welcome. What a welcome. But the man begins to speak to his son. And he's saying, you know, I didn't expect to see you again. I lamented. I thought I was going down to the grave mourning. Now that I've seen you, I'm ready to go. Does that remind you of a New Testament scene? That old man who went into the temple, and he picked up the child. Oh, now he says, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, when I have seen thy salvation. Ready to go.
He's seen his son. There's been a reuniting of Jacob and Joseph. He says, it's been worth it all. I'm ready now to go. But he didn't. As I've indicated, Joseph was going to protect him and care for him for 17 years. Now here's the wisdom of God. God is going to develop a nation. A nation is going to be born. It's true he has called Abraham. Now that's a big study in Bible study, the call of Abraham. It's interesting in this. If you watch how God started out with new spearheads, started off with Adam, collapsed in failure. After the flood, he starts off with Noah and his family, collapses in failure. He calls Abraham, and he's going to develop a nation from Abraham. At first it seemed that it wasn't possible. Abraham had only one son, Isaac. Then Isaac had two sons that couldn't agree. One threatened to take the other one's life, just like Cain and Abel all over again. Now here's Jacob. Oh, what a checkered career. But God says, no, never mind, there's going to be a great nation. And he's starting again. But look at the wisdom of God in taking them down to Egypt. The old devil is trying to disrupt the whole affair. But God is overall, as we've pointed out again and again in the life of Joseph, God is overall, and he's working everything after the counsel of his own will. He has sent Joseph before them in order to preserve them and protect them and provide for them. And now they come down and he's going to settle them down in Egypt, for there's still 5 years of famine. They could never have existed up in Canaan. But now that they're down there and Joseph has been there, there's going to be a full provision. And he says, now you're going to dwell in the very finest of the land. You will be in Goshen. Oh, the wisdom that God displays in looking after his own people and working out his own plans. But now, when you come over to chapter 47 for a moment, and we've got to miss out a lot now because it brings Jacob into the picture more than Joseph, and we want to see Joseph. Look at the opening verses of chapter 47. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, my father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen. And he took some of his brethren, even 5 men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, what is your occupation? They said unto Pharaoh, thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers. Stop there a moment. Look now at the humility of Joseph. The chief man in Egypt next to Pharaoh. Oh, he might be dressed up with all his robes on, you know. And he might have the chain around his neck. And you just need to look at him and say, oh my, he's got a big position. A governor in the land of Egypt. You know him by what he's wearing. And he goes in before Pharaoh and he says, now I've brought my brethren along. They're shepherds. Shepherds. Oh, how humble. Oh, what humility. See, the shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptian. Some have despised. He's only a shepherd. But here's Joseph in the great position. He's not ashamed to identify himself with his brethren who are only shepherds. That's all. I've told you this before. I think it amuses me at times. I know it does. And I always bring back an incident that I knew. I was very friendly with a young fellow once who was what we used to call a sheet metal worker. Someone called them tinsmiths, sheet metal worker in the shipyards. And we were talking one day, and there was a fellow there, and he said to him, "What do you work at?" He said, "Oh, I'm a mine engineer." That's what he called himself, a mining engineer. So he said to my friend, he said, "What are you?" He says, "Me, I'm a sheet metal engineer." He was a tinsmith. So he was going to have a title as well. He was a sheet metal engineer. Used to be, if something went wrong with your system at home, you sent for the house plumber. You have a difficulty getting a house plumber now. He's a sanitary engineer. Sanitary engineer. Gee, you've got to have big titles now. Big titles. "What do you work at?" He says, "We're shepherds. That's all. Shepherds." Was there anything to be ashamed of? Joseph says, "They're my brethren." And he identified himself with those who were shepherds. That's all. Shepherds. Do you remember the kind of people the Lord chose to be his disciples and then made them apostles? Fishermen. So, fishermen, men who knew what it meant to go out in the storms. Men who were hard-working men who could toil all night and spend time mending their nets during the day and washing their nets. And these fishermen put in long, long hours. I've lived in homes with fishermen where we've been sitting discussing the scriptures at 11 o'clock at night. You say, "I have to get to my bed, you know, I'll have to be up before 4 o'clock in the morning. I've got to be down at the harbour at 5. Down and get the ship ready and away out in the morning. I'd go down to the harbour at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to watch them coming back in. By the time they come back in and unloaded their catch and so on and took their nets out and got things done, they'd be up there to have a meal about 5 o'clock and get washed up. We'd be way down to the meetings at night. After the meeting, we'd go for a walk along the harbour again." These were busy men, hard working men, fishermen. The Lord chose fishermen. And the people who were in high up positions spoke of them as ignorant and unlearned men. But they were men who had been with the Lord. And men who displayed in the life the power of the Spirit of God. Joseph took the humble place, says, "These are my brethren." And he let Pharaoh know they are just shepherds. But it was all in God's plan, because the line of demarcation was drawn and they were given that particular allocation. That's where you live and that's where you look after your cattle and your sheep and so on. In Goshen. And Joseph provided for them all the time they were there. Now, I've often thought of the incident here where he presents his old father to Pharaoh. Get the picture again. Some people are ashamed to acknowledge their parents. I don't know why. Some are ashamed to acknowledge them. Joseph was not ashamed to take the old man, all crooked up with his stick, lame, limping, and he presents him to Pharaoh. "My father, I suggest to you there was a love that existed there between Joseph and his father. He was not ashamed of his parents." A street meeting was being held on one occasion in a certain town that I knew very well. I'd preached in it often. I can picture it now, where three streets meet. And right in the middle, there's a fountain. Right in the middle. In the old days, before you had all the traffic, people walking down there could go over to the fountain and get a drink of water. On a Saturday night, a group of Christians would meet just at that fountain. And they'd hold a street meeting. People would stand on the sidewalks round about. One night they were holding the street meeting. The crowds were standing there, for the people used to come in there to do their shopping on the Saturday night. And they'd be standing on the street listening to these men preaching and singing. And there was an old woman pushed her way through the crowd at one street and staggering back and forward and mumbling away, you know, drunk. And you know what like they are when they get drunk. It's bad enough to see a man drunk, but it's worse when you see an old woman drunk. She's pushing her way through the crowd and folks are trying to push her out, and she fell. Fell in the gutter. And they were saying all sorts of things about her. And the man who was preaching there at the time finished up what he was saying and they started to sing. And as they were singing, he left the ring and he went over and he picked that old woman up out of the gutter, picked her up and linked his arm in hers. And some of the folks said, ah, forget about her, let her lie there, the drunken old so-and-so. They're saying all sorts of things about the old woman. Don't you worry about her. She's always like that. He turned and he looked at them and he said, well, she's my mother. She's my mother. And he took her away home. And the person that told me, they said, Willie, any time that Tommy Bonner went out to speak at that open air meeting, people listened to him. They listened to him. He was not ashamed to pick his own mother up and take her home. Joseph introduced his old father to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Then it's interesting to notice the conversation that went on between them. And then there's Joseph. What he did during the remaining 5 years of famine, but our time's gone. We've got to leave that tonight. And perhaps on Wednesday night, we'll show you something regarding the power of Joseph, what he did, and leading on to chapter 50 and his closing days. We'll try and finish off our study in the life of Joseph on Wednesday night. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee that thou hast written in thy book things for our instruction, practical things. We thank thee for these men who were like bright shining stars in the dark night. Men in whom the Spirit of God moved. O God, we thank thee for thy plans and thy purposes, which at times we don't understand until the end comes. But tonight we look back again and we thank thee for thy kindness and for thy mercy and for thy grace to each of us. Thou hast been kind to us, kind beyond measure. We thank thee for this. And now we look forward to this week that lies before us, and each of us will have a variety of things to attend to. Bless each one, whether it's in the home or in the office or at the work, wherever it is. Bless each of thy people. Bless every family circle. And the little children who are growing up. Oh God, be with them. And some of our number tonight are not keeping well. Put thy hand upon them. Restore them speedily to their wonted health and strength again. And grant, oh God, that day by day we'll know thy good hand with each of us. Take our thanks now and take us home safely for the Lord Jesus' sake.